Express yourself. Whatever you do, do it.
Good morning, YK Region, YK Delta, and beyond. This is Diane McGachran, and this is Talkline, and I'm with Joe Moses on a overcast, drizzly Bethel day.
And good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Yes.
Yes, this is Talkline, where the show is driven by you, the callers, and yes, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
You are listening to Talkline, an open format where the public has the opportunity to voice their points of view. The opinions expressed are not those of Bethel Broadcasting staff, management, or board of directors. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning. So, fishing yesterday, right?
It closes at noon today.
Okay. So probably
it started
out
at
there.
Noon yesterday, and it was a 24-hour opening.
I saw a boat. So that's the second 24-hour opening
first,
in the last week.
First 24-hour opening.
No, wasn't there one last Sunday?
It was 12 hours.
Oh, 12 hours, and then this is 24. Okay.
This is 24, so...
Okay, so I hope people, you know, are able to get some.
They are catching. It just depends on where you're at.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, good morning, John Nick. You're our first caller. Welcome to Talkline. Good morning, John.
Boy, I'm sure glad they got to have an opening.
I know.
And I hope everyone did okay on that 24-hour opening?
24-hour, yeah.
Yeah, and I hope they had good fishing there.
Yeah.
And a safe one.
Yeah. Yes.
Kind of rainy today, but our land needs some water. It's kind of thirsty.
Yeah.
And good for the berries and the plants.
Yes.
So I just want to wish everyone a good weekend. I hope you had plenty of fish and you've got work to do, and hope you have a good fish camp day. And please wear your life jacket and don't drink and drive. And if you can, please refrain from drinking while you're pregnant.
Okay.
And I want to say, everyone have a good, safe day. Good weekend.
Okay.
I'll be at KYK, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
See you later, Joe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right, bye. Well, that was quick. Just a nice little greeting for the morning, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few things in the local news. There's AVCP had another story about what's going on there. I guess there's some audits going on, and it's still not completely sorted out, I think, some of what's happened in the past few years. But
yeah, if you haven't read the story, it's on kyk.org.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday or the day before.
I'm not sure when it was on.
Sometime this week. Anyway, kind of an update, and then kind of revealing more about what some of the issues are. So
how's everything going at the college?
It's kind of slow right now. We're shutting down for the summer. And I am I'm doing a little bit of work, but I'm not there full time. Kind of beginning to unwind myself.
You're at your other job?
What's my other job?
I thought you worked at YK too.
Oh, no. Sometimes I fill in, but no.
Oh, you're just on call?
I haven't been able to do anything for a while, but sometimes I have stepped in, yes, for emergency services, behavioral health, like that.
Again, the numbers here are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Mm-hmm. So over in, what did you think of the events that happened in Florida, in Orlando?
Yeah, that was something else. That's a lot of people in one day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting how they have some of these people that are that type of background on check, but they felt that he wasn't a threat, and come to find out it was otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting how they're connecting also domestic violence with some of the mass shootings that we see in the past, you know, that we've had in the past 10 years, that there's often a link to either for some of the high school shooters, it's been like the loss of a girlfriend or feeling frustrated that women, at women, and they've had videos of that. I mean, where they're talking about that, and with this guy, there was really bad domestic violence too.
Yeah, he passed his background check to purchase a firearm. Well, that was interesting.
That's a problem.
So
yeah, so then they had that senator from Florida go. He did a filibuster, Murphy. Democrat from Florida, he did that, stayed on the floor talking. I think they went for 15 hours, different Democrats getting up. And they want to have a vote, which finally the House the Senate agreed to. And that vote is coming up, I think, next week. And that is just to close the loophole where someone can be on the no-fly list and still buy an AR-15 rifle. Like this guy did.
Oh, he was on the no-fly list?
You know, I can't remember if he actually was or not. He might. I don't know. I mean, I know he was interviewed by the FBI twice, and they didn't find enough in the interview to, you know, warrant any kind of charges or extra monitoring.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how that. Mm-hmm. And then his wife knew what he was going to do and tried to talk him out of it.
Yeah.
She's under scrutiny.
Second wife, yeah.
Yeah.
The first wife is the one that had to basically escape from him. Her family had to come and get her when he was not there and get her out before he got home.
What do you think about that case with the judge that gave that guy a 6-month sentence for that rape he committed on?
The Stanford. Well, that's white privilege.
That's what?
White privilege. When you're a white athlete, it just...
You mean his parents had some money.
And his parents had a lot of money and... So he got off.
But the judge is under.
Well, they removed the judge from the next case because of that.
I thought they're going to remove him completely from the judicial system.
No. There was just another sexual assault case that came across, and they removed him from so that he would not be hearing that particular case. So
really,
anyway, looks like we have Dawn on the air. Good morning, Dawn. You're on Talk Line. Hello, Dawn. You have to turn your phone, turn your radio down or off.
Hello?
Well, Dawn is being very quiet, so we're going to let Dawn go and see if Dawn wants to call back. Okay. So another thing about the Orlando one is it was homophobia. It was attacking gay people. And, you know, I just hope that in our region... Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, fluid, however people describe their sexual orientation. I hope that they do not encounter bullying or negativity or are mistreated in any way. I hope that doesn't happen out here. So anyway,
it's amazing how the media can just. Dig into something and research, and come up with all these, you know, these scenarios on what led to it. And
well, I mean, they're supposed to dig in and try to find out what contributed to his doing this. So
wasn't there another shooting within the last year or so? Those guys, I can't remember where it was. They went on a shooting rampage. Those guys.
Where?
I forgot where it was. Maybe California.
There have been so many.
Yeah.
In that, just since they lifted the assault weapons ban, which forbids people from buying those kind of weapons, when they lifted that in 1998, you can see a sharp upturn in mass killings in the United States.
With that type of firearm.
It's kind of unique to the United States. Yeah, with that type of firearm. They won't. There used to be a ban on assault weapons. And now that ban got lifted, and so...
Oh, is that what...
So we have Roxanne. Good morning, Roxanne. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, as always, Diane. So I'll keep it brief because I think the conversation that you two are having is very important. I'm calling, of course, in regard to the July 4th activities. So I just wanted to remind everyone that, yes, activities will be going on. The parade will be happening. Floats will be happening. So I am still looking for performers, volunteers, and people to walk in the parade and have floats. So if you are interested or you would like to do that, you can call me at 545-8483. Again, that's Roxanne at 545-8483. And lastly, if you would like to have a table at Pinky's Park, that number would be 545-4901, and you'd be looking for Matt Ross. So again, that's Matt Ross at 545-4901. And I guess, lastly, there will be a softball game going on that day. So I will take everything off the air, and thank you so much, Diane.
Okay. Oh, so there. So 4th of July is on, and... Oh, okay.
Thanks to...
sorry if you guys got an ear blast there.
Thanks to Roxanne.
Yeah. She's kind of stepping up, coordinating our 4th of July. And there's going to be a softball game, which is fun. A lot of fun to watch that. So that's kind of festive. All right, so it looks like we have Alan. Good morning, Alan. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah, good morning. First, I'd like to say that if nobody has ever read the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms regulation on firearms, when they start talking about gun show loophole and online, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. You just can't do that stuff. You know, I mean, there's already background checks for gun show buyers from a dealer.
Mm-hmm.
In order for me, when me selling a gun to my next door neighbor, that does not include the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms whatsoever.
Right.
That's an intrastate commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Only the federal government has control of interstate commerce, not intrastate commerce.
Mm-hmm.
That intrastate commerce is up to the state of Alaska to pass regulations against. And we had an assault weapons ban back from 1994 to 2004. But how did that stop the Columbine shooting? How did that stop 9/11 from happening? And how did that stop the Boston Marathon bombing?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that particular law banning assault weapons...
How would it stop the Columbine shooting?
All right, so I'm not going to... Well, go ahead, just say what you need to say, and then we'll move on.
Okay, I mean, I'm just saying I'm done now, but they would not have stopped the Columbine shooting, and it would not have stopped the 9/11 airplane bombardment.
Yeah. Well, because we'd have to ban airplanes.
Well, okay, case. And now we start talking about this no-fly list thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think all constitutional rights should be banned if you are on a no-fly list?
Not all.
Why not? That's how you liberals show you lack principles. You don't always support things that you don't agree with. You don't support the whole concept of things.
Uh-huh. Well, your view is clear, Alan. I'm not going to argue with you.
Liberals just lack principles, and that's all there is to it, because you have no facts to support what you say.
Uh-huh. Well, that's one way of seeing liberal policies.
It's not one way. It's the only way. Neither one of you could bend back to what you say about guns. Neither one of you do.
I don't know what Joe may have a different view on guns than I do.
But if you haven't read the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms regulations on guns, you don't have a whole lot to say about guns, banning guns and stuff like who can buy them, who can't buy them, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
As a former gun dealer, I've read those regulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Let's see. All right, so one point of view of many, of thousands. Alex, you're on the air. Welcome to Talkline. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from Fish Camp.
Oh, Fish Camp.
Yeah. You might hear... some strange noises that maybe you don't hear very much because it's windy out here, and I'm in the shelter right now. I'm in our break shelter.
Oh.
Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about my concern on the river.
Okay.
I could not help but witness a fisherman yesterday, and I'm not going to say whether these people are natives or Caucasians, but you know, it was kind of calm, and you could hear a long ways up to maybe quarter, half mile.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the river is not where we should have conversation about things because people could hear from long ways. And if there's a group of people in a boat, possibly, I'm not sure what they were doing, but comfortably, if they're drifting down, someone out there might get offended.
Okay.
Because and if someone gets offended in the river, whether it's in a fish camp or on the shore or out on the river drifting down or fishing by rod and reel or whatever, these are state waters up to mean watermark of the banks of the river, regardless of the ownership. And the Alaska State anything that's going on. You know, I'm not saying that these people were causing any problem, but my concern was that, you know,
Oh, you're cutting up just a little bit there, Alex.
Maybe he could call back.
Oh, I think he. Oh,
is he there?
Yeah.
He's going.
Alex, I think your phone is breaking up.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now we can. Yes.
Yeah. What I was saying was that you know, my concern was that maybe they might have been drinking or on high on something else, and this is not time for leisure. Fishing is not time for leisure. It's for.
Mm-hmm.
Catching something that you want to give someone to, or you want to save some for your family, or you want to put up for your winter supply.
Right.
So that's the concern. I'll stop and listen.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it sounds like he was sharing that he saw, he heard, you know, kind of loud and maybe not, maybe a boat that wasn't really focused on the task at hand, fishing. And a reminder that you can hear far on that river, so it can be disturbing if people are, you know, sort of drinking or loud and making lots of noise and stuff. Okay.
Well, that's kind of interesting how, I mean, the way he described it, I mean, it would be, you know, in your favor not to be in that type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Mode or...
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And, you know, not thinking what you're saying is going to be heard by someone. But, you know, he's right. If you sit there long enough and you just, you know,
mm-hmm.
be part of what's out there, like, the you know, the river and the nature, and you
mm-hmm.
just, if you see people fishing, it don't take much to hear what they are saying when it's a calm day like it was yesterday.
Right, right.
So it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's, in a way, it's like, okay, you know what? I mean, apparently somebody got offended by what somebody was saying in terms of how they were conducting
themselves. It reminds me of this, Alex's call, and then you're saying, you know, being a part of what's out there. Kind of reminds me of this story that I listened to by Larry Mikulyev. Mikulyev? Is that how you say his name? And he was talking about going out hunting for sea lions with his father, and being out on the water and being really silent and absorbing everything through his senses, to where after a while you could sense the animal
mm-hmm.
underneath the water, even if you couldn't see them, and that how men could really read the way that the motion of the ocean on their kayak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a really powerful kind of mindfulness that is important.
It is. I mean, it only makes sense. But, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. Again, the numbers here are 543.
You are listening to Talkline, an open format where the public has the opportunity to voice their points of view. The opinions expressed are not those of Bethel Broadcasting staff, management, or board of directors. And now, here are your hosts.
Yeah. And there's a lot of research now on the brain and the power of that ability to focus with all your senses in the here and now, present with exactly where you are, which is really good hunting and subsistence life is very much like that. It really is protecting your brain in many ways, and it's the research is that how healthy that is for your brain
mm-hmm.
to not always be overwhelmed with thoughts.
Is it called most people call it the sixth sense.
You could call it that,
some
I guess.
Some people
yeah.
do, and then
yeah.
it's called
yeah.
your gut feeling, right?
Yes, you can, yeah, yes.
I mean, you know.
But it's a little more complex, you know, a little
yeah.
little broader than that. Uh-huh. But yeah, those are things that kind of where we have a sense of something, where we're reading the environment in a way that's kind of.
Well, you do it quite a bit. You've been on a tundra by yourself with your
yes.
canine.
I go get mindful with the tundra a lot. yeah.
So,
yeah.
What did you think about that when you first did that?
Went out on the tundra?
Yeah.
Just, I just enjoyed it because it was so, it seemed to go on forever. And in one little, you could look at one little patch of ground and there'd be a ton of plants that I had never seen before in my life that, you know, those, they almost look like coral. They're
so
all squiggly and, yeah.
You were basically noticing more than you have before in terms of.
No, I noticed a lot before. It's just in my life, I had never been on tundra before. I had never seen these kind of plants that are on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And I'd never seen some of the kind of shorebirds. And, you know, so all of that was really exciting to discover. And I still enjoy it all these years later. So.
Again, this is Friday Morning Talkline, where the show is driven by you, the callers. You know, I haven't heard from anybody, and it would be nice to know how people are doing out there fishing. Some people are posting that they've, you know, done well, and they've got, you know, their share. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a little different for some people. They're not catching like others. But
And I wonder if people are modifying, I mean, whether they're going out and just like, in 24 hours, I'm getting everything that I can, or are they getting a certain amount and then stopping and going and saying, okay, that's it. That's all we need, and we're going to leave now. Or,
well, some people are taking
you know.
What, like you'd say, what they need, but, you know, in terms of if you have more than one family.
No, I'm talking about beyond that. Where people are getting, you know, where they're just trying to get as many as they can because it's the 24-hour opening. And maybe that's okay. I don't know.
It's hard to say.
So we have Cesari on the line. Good morning, Cesari. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Looks like you guys are boring.
Oh, are we bored? Are we boring?
Nobody calling. There's too many callers. I'm on the line.
Oh.
What the heck?
Oh, Cesari's calling to rescue
everybody,
us.
Everybody might be fishing.
Yeah, probably everybody fishing. I fished yesterday.
How'd you do?
I did good. I get 11 kings with 3 hours and 4 reds, 1 chum.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good. Everybody should have him. I was surprised there was so many poolside net, people no respect. I got myself on Sunday ticket, and there was too long net mine, but just like the fishing game, everybody have own excuse. I have my excuse. I tore my net by 70 yards,
uh-huh.
you know, from the red line. We have huge, huge snake, and I even don't know. And my daughter told me to be calling. I have him two actually. And then I know I just dumped more net in there, and there is there they come for you. And with the ranger finder, and I've been a little bit over, and I tell him I have a big hole, and he said, you know, with this situation, we're getting net out, and actually I have him two sheepish and broken net. I should give him the two sheepish and broken net, not, you know, besides, not the $283 fine.
Did they find you yesterday?
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's right. He's not going to investigate everybody, but uh-huh. I was been telling the truth, you know. I tried to tell the truth, and he said everybody have own excuse, you know.
Why were you cited?
For too long net.
Oh, your net was
how
too
long your net was supposed to be?
150 yesterday and day before and Sunday.
And what did you put out?
I have 150. I tore that 150 O1 on 4 pieces. All from bottom lead, there was all a rip off. One big hole. If you don't have attached lead, your net is floating.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And you have, you know, because you're broken, you know, nothing. So I just dump it the leftover, not all of them, but I still have some left. So, and I've been too long. It looks like I have long, but there was one big hole. And if they have to be, I tell them I have big snake in there. We pull him up for about 1 hour. Finally, we rip that thing out. And that's okay. I say, that's okay. I'm not going to argue. Pay him up and next day and send him then. But yesterday, there was not even one checkup. There was so many full side net in front and back and sides and fathers and family, like two kids and older. And pretty much, I never see gassock in this long net. I fished down river. There was pretty much everybody native, but there were so many, this full side native, no right away with this 150 feet or 300 feet.
Oh, you saw you saw people with longer nets?
All day long. I drove them down, down past, way past, between, close to Napaque, down in here, go up, and there was, I see plenty long full side net. Nobody respect that, you know, and I was cut too, but no matter what, I pay fine, and next time when I have broken net, I just pull him up or give him.
Yeah.
But you know, the law should be supported and let fish with the small. I don't know the mesh what they use. A couple of them, what I saw, there was, looks like there was full-side mesh. 8 inch or so, so if they target big fish, that's no good too. And, and even the small one, we cut pretty good size, maybe 20 pounder, a few of them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was surprising, but it was good time. It's enough fish, and if somebody complains they don't get fish, that is only their fault. Because everybody have opportunity, two time open, 12 hours, 24 hours, everybody have opportunity to go and fish. Mm-hmm. There is no way to excuse or complain, crying. We don't get fish for winter.
Yeah.
You know, it's you get 10 fish, that is lots of strips in there. You get 20 fish, even more, and you should be the average probably with 2 days open to or 36 hours total fishing. You should be heavy enough for winter. No way, even big family.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm
and
saying.
Then there's other fish coming down the road. In addition.
They should be close. Yeah, we have silver. I never, you know, I don't want, I like the heads and bellies from the kings.
I see, yes. Okay. Yeah, but, well, you're not alone. Many prefer that.
Yeah, the strips, it's always somebody else do for me.
Well, I like strips.
But I eat strips with 1 year, maybe 1 pound. The strips, the true is not healthy, what you think about. That is lots of chemicals where the cold burning. Hot cooking is different when you cold smoking, that is cancer chemicals where the attaching. And if you eat too much, I not perform it. Uh-huh. You know, people have been eating all alive and surviving and all stuff, but medically way, too much everything is no good, but smoky, dark, oily smoke from the burning trees is not healthy. I not think so, no.
Okay.
But, people live and survive on them for many years. And it's like I survived on my vodka for many years. And
okay, Cesari. Yeah.
And for me, it's good.
TMI.
I get up 5 in the morning and go work. And people survive on fish, too, you know.
Yeah.
I can't. I can eat too much. I'll be sick.
Yeah. So.
Okay, gotcha. Have a good weekend.
All right.
You still have about 1.5 hour of fishing. So just jump out and get some.
90 minutes of fishing.
Yeah, 90 minutes fishing. And good luck, everybody, on the river.
All right. Thank you. Oh, well, that was very pleasant. I didn't get into an argument with Cesare. That's awesome.
Well, I wouldn't say. It's just a one-time thing.
Well, let's just enjoy. Gregory, good morning. You're on Talk Line. Welcome.
Yes, good morning to one and all.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah. I got it figured out. It's like Eureka. No, wait, let me rephrase that. Eureka! Okay.
Okay.
I blew a couple of brain cells going over this. I now know how to make 1 plus 1 to equal 11.
Remove the plus?
No.
Oh.
Pretend you're in Italia.
Pretend what?
Pretend you're in Italy.
Pretend you're in Italy.
Yes, and using the Roman numerals. Yeah, I can make 1 plus 1 equal 11.
I thought mine was... kind of okay. Remove the plus and you have 11.
Okay, but, I got another problem here. I got a kickstand on a bicycle.
All right.
It's good for standing still. But when I want to get rolling there, I cannot find a kickstarter. Push start.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I blew a couple brain cells over that as well.
All right.
Okay, well,
good,
thank you
good
all
work.
For the rainwater and for the morning smiles, everybody.
Thank you, Gregory.
Think be cool.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, Cesare has a good point. It's pretty quiet out there. I'm not sure what's going on, but I have a feeling people are fishing or...
Oh, you mean like... we're not... if you've always wanted to call Talkline anonymously or email, Joe's going to give you the numbers in a second, but now is a good time because we seem
all
to
the
have
line, all
an
the
interesting...
Open.
I know, and I think there's even Saturday market tomorrow.
I'm not sure.
Isn't there?
Is there?
Okay, well, that was that's my bait for Renee Athanas.
Don't forget Father's Day
in.
On Saturday.
There's Father's Day on Saturday. Sunday.
Sunday. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah.
So Father's Day.
Yeah,
Father's Day's
Day.
Coming up.
Yes.
And I'd like to wish my father in heaven a happy Father's Day.
Very nice.
So.
Yeah, okay. So Anonymous has called in. Good morning, Anonymous. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from here in Bethel.
Okay.
I want to call about the incident at the fish camp about shooting up there on steamboats, Lou.
Shooting? What happened?
It was on Sunday, and, you know, it was a subsistence day.
Yep.
And I had to get under the table and... because of that shooting, it would go really fast and then shoot here and there, starting from, it didn't come from one place, but it went down like, I don't know, maybe half a mile or maybe less. That shooting went like that, so I had to get under the table and...
Did you call the police?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
okay. It was at fish camp.
Oh, at fish, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's scary.
I just want to alert that, because it's scary. It is, you know, a stray bullet can hit somebody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then another thing is this, we subsistence, fish subsistence workers, the reason why we want to have our subsistence done from June, beginning of June,
mm-hmm.
Now that our first catch we hung, there's flies, you know.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Laying their eggs on our fish.
Yeah.
That's why we want it from the beginning of June to, you know,
mm-hmm.
By this time, we usually have our fish in the smokehouse,
mm-hmm.
say, from the flies. And now there's going to be a lot of hard work and fish wasted because of that.
That is very difficult. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I wish, you know, the subsistence board would make it a law for us subsistence native people, you know, to start to make it a lot to for us to fish from the beginning of June.
Yeah.
Like,
I think there's
all we're asking is for like maybe three days a week.
Uh-huh.
Not a whole week, but three uh-huh. days a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
No, that's a concern, people out shooting and not realizing, or maybe not even thinking about somebody maybe out
the consequences.
Walking around or checking rabbit snares and stray bullet. That would be awful. But she makes a good point about, you know, trying to get the fish up before the flies start. And
yeah,
that's trouble.
Yeah, that is kind of.
But I think that the fish numbers are so low. They're half what they used to be, the runs.
Uh-huh.
So it's very hard to figure out, because if you left absolutely no regulations, one or two, it wouldn't take long to, that'd be the end of that king salmon run. I mean, it's very serious how low the numbers are.
Where was it that they used to have salmon? Somewhere in the East Coast?
Oh, yeah, in the Northeast. They used to have salmon runs and all the little tributaries, and no more.
Nothing.
Fished them out. And that was the end of the run. So would hate to see that happen out here. Fritz, you're on talk line. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
All
good.
Right.
And yourself?
Good. Good. Pretty sore. Well, kind of. I'm used to calling in the net, I guess, second opener of the season. But, you guys have been a great point. And of course, the working group, Custom Quim Salmon Management Working Group, always, majority of the time talk about the high seas fisheries, the bycatch, and so forth and whatnot. And, you know, we try and voice our opinions to the state because the state monitors the bycatch of the high seas fisheries down there at Bering Sea and also the area and false pass fisheries. And, you know, it's an ongoing battle with the high seas fisheries and the Kuskokwim, and it's just a total nightmare. We need somebody on the board for that particular fisheries, high seas fisheries area. I don't think, to my knowledge, I don't think there is a representation from this area for those groups.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's an ongoing battle, and I personally don't know what else we could do about that. Each year there's thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of bycatch that are most likely coming here to the river and to the Yukon and to the Bristol Bay and Quinnahock and Kinnickock and Good News. But anyways, that being said, you know, it's, what else can we do? Me personally, I don't know. It's the state, my personal opinion, the state is getting so much money out of these people for whatever reason, the taxing or whatever. The legislatures are getting money from that. The governor, the state workers are getting millions of dollars from these high seas fisheries. So that's what the government does. They're going to deplete our natural resources and then move to another country. And they're going to deplete our natural resources. Our That's what they're good at, and they're going to keep on doing that. Look at Washington or Oregon, where the salmon used to run twice as strong as out here. Look at it now. They can't. They don't even know salmon, I believe.
Right.
They probably do, but not as before because of the state's high seas fisheries. They're going to deplete them here as well and then move on. And then what are we left with?
Well, traditionally, a long time ago, before gill nets, what fish did people depend on through the summer? What was the main...
Regardless of the fish, it is fish that we eat out here that the high seas fisheries are catching. Whether it be kings, whether it be chums, whether it be reds.
Uh-huh.
They're all in the bycatch.
Oh, okay.
And then nothing's going to change on the high seas fisheries. Nothing. We can make laws out here, but they're not going to listen to us. We're third world country out here in Bethel and the Southwest region. They're not going to listen to
nobody
out here.
But some of the pressure from out here has been effective. It has dropped the number of bycatch that's allowable. They can't just throw it overboard now. I mean, I think that some of the pressure has been helpful. I mean, not as good as you'd like it to be, but it has had an impact.
To an extent, yes.
Yeah.
Who?
Then election's coming up.
Which election?
The president.
Oh, okay, because we also have our own regional election with for House Rep in Juneau, Bob Heron and Zach Vansler. But you're talking about president. So you've got an interesting choice.
I'm voting for this year.
Which one are you? Who are you voting for? Or you can say or not say, whatever.
Me personally, I'm going to vote for Joe Moses.
Aha! Holy mackerel. Okay. That's a vote right there.
Hang on to that vote, Fritz.
Yeah.
Joe, what do you think about that?
That would make you vice president then.
Oh, man.
Oh, he's gonna
Well, I don't want to be under you.
Yeah.
But anyways, do you guys have any questions regarding that?
Well, I'm wondering how do we get involved or be part of that that bycatch committee or whatever you want to call them? I mean, it's interesting how
it is very interesting. I got to find that out myself. It's either appointment from the government, the governor, or it's I believe there consists of the state in Oregon and I'm not sure. There's probably Dev that knows a lot more about it, or Lamont, or one of those two people, or the state, or the feds know more about it, and we definitely need some representation in those seats that manage the high seas fisheries.
Mm-hmm. Now, a question I had, Fritz, is knowing what you know in terms of fish, the numbers and the runs, and the mandatory escapement goals, how risky would it be, or maybe it won't be risky, I don't know, but would it be risky to, like an earlier caller had talked about, opening up like 3 days a week starting in the beginning of June so that people could put their fish up before the flies? Do you feel like that's a risky thing in terms of escapement?
I'm not sure, but the only thing that won't take into effect, that won't be able to be implemented until 3 years after, because the Board of Fish, which is, they had a meeting last year or beginning of the year to pass not to open subsistence until on or after June 11th. But the
right.
Board of Fish did not set a starting closure. That was brought to on the hands of, I'm not sure, it's either the working group or the Intertribal Fish Commission. One of those two will most likely get the closure date, which this year, I believe the working group may have set that in place this year, I believe. And then there was a motion a couple of weeks ago before June that to have the at least a 12, 6, 12, 18-hour opener or 72-hour opener, which everybody heard of, but the state did not grant that motion because there was a misunderstanding between the in-season manager with the Fish and Game and the Board of Fish, which he said he contacted, but he didn't. And it was hectic. And I tried giving a lieutenant governor a call about that, as I was so furious about that and why they didn't have an opener. So, but that's all in the past. Everybody got the first taste of fish now, and everybody's good. And hopefully that will not happen again.
Okay. Okay.
One more thing. If boaters that are traveling from Tulaksac on down, keep an eye out. There was a hunter that went missing. His name was Dylan Lamont. I'm not sure what he was wearing at the time, but keep an eye out alongside the banks. Tulaksac on down, travelers, keep an eye out for something suspicious or out of the ordinary along the banks, on the river. Just keep an eye out. Just a friendly reminder to keep an eye out there.
Okay.
And please wear your PFDs.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fritz.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you. We have another call. We have Raymond, I believe.
Or email?
Hi. I'm not sure.
Hi.
Hi, Raymond. Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to remind the general public that lives in a 5-mile radius of Bethel, which, according to the Bethel municipal codes, and of course the safety, whatever, we are required by these municipal codes that if we need police services, that, you know, they be served to us, whether we live in Steamboat Slough or across the river or perhaps even Osterville, if it's in a 5-mile limit. That is, you know, according to the zoning, you know, and the maps of Bethel, but do not be afraid to call the police if you need them.
Okay, yeah, good.
Okay, you have a good summer. Say summer.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
We have Anonymous. Welcome to Talkline, Anonymous.
Good morning. Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Oh, hi, good morning. Happy fishing to everybody.
Good.
I just want to say something about the fishing opening. I think June 11 wasn't too bad for the first subsistence opening. Because every summer I hear all these people everywhere, left and right, you know, down coast people, up coast, up river, whatever.
Uh-huh.
We tend to complain about late fishing, you know, subsistence opening and stuff like that, weather, especially weather,
yeah,
rain, and the flies, especially the flies. We have to deal with them. We've deal with flies every fishing season, you know. Yeah. The flies are everywhere from starting in May, because we work with herring when we, you know, in the coast area.
Yeah.
And the flies start flying already, you know, so we deal with flies every fishing season. I guess everybody do.
Yeah.
And we tend to complain, so and so and so. But this year, the June 10-11 fishing opening is just perfect for me, because just before 11th, the week, because Queen Hawk is open, coast people, they go, it's a 2-3 hour ride, just one trip to Queen Hawk and a lot of gas to top it off. And we've been fishing, we catch only about, listen, not too much, you know, 20 something, 10, 20, 30. If it's a good fishing, we can get like 200 something if it's, but right now the fish is starting to come in, and I'm just trying to say we shouldn't complain what day and what not. Remember, just before fishing subsistence season this summer, we heard people, and even to you talking, some people were saying, let's not complain. You know, they encourage people not to complain. Let's just be patient and so. And I also want to say, we're not bossing the weather. Weather comes, you know, weather gets bad when it wants to. We're not controlling the weather. So we have to deal with the rain, the flies, the whatever, whatnot. So I just want to encourage everybody, you know, the fish is here.
And
so
be thankful.
Let's enjoy fishing as it comes. Let's just enjoy the days.
Okay.
No complaints,
okay.
You know. Okay, thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Basically what you're saying, just be thankful.
Be grateful.
Be thankful and grateful, and, you know, at least we had an opportunity, like Cesario said.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be any complaining. But, you know, I mean.
Okay. Well, we have Ray from Fish and Wildlife. So, good morning, Ray. You're on Talk Line. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm hearing a lot of talk about what's going on with the fisheries. I'm really pleased with how everybody's working together with us, you know, to the conservation of salmon. It's going very, very well this year. And talking with my refuge officers this morning, yesterday we only seized 8 nets, you know, and that's about a fifth of what we had last year.
Okay.
So, doing really well. And all the seizures are kind of falling into a couple of categories, something that's bigger than 6-inch, something that's longer than 150 feet above the Johnson, and then nets that are not marked. So if folks could help us out with that, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. The nets do need to be marked with first initial, last name, and address of people, so that when our officers are checking them, they know who to contact if there's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
We did take a net yesterday that looked like it was abandoned because it had a bunch of rotted fish in it. We really ask people to carefully monitor those nets. I think that's of concern for everybody. I think we want to definitely take care of the fish resources we do have.
Uh-huh. Okay.
For nets that are seized, the penalty is $250. If a person wants their net back, they can contact us at our 543-3151 number. And then once the penalty is paid, we can return those nets to individuals that are responsible for that. But we're doing really, really well in that particular area.
Okay. And if there are fish in the net that you catch, that you're collecting, what do you do with that fish?
Oh, yeah. What we do is we go to the villages and work with the elders there to provide the fish to the people in need in those villages that are right close to that area.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, that seems to work. We've identified who those points of contact are in every village. So when our officers get fish out of a seized net, that's their job, is to take it to that point of contact. Say, we have fish. Please distribute to those in need.
Okay.
So that's working real well.
Good.
Our next opportunity will be sometime next week. We're looking at the harvest data today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We ask that everybody report to harvest to the Intertribal Fish Commission member, and then they'll get that back to us so we can actually have another opener real soon, hopefully early next week.
Okay. And what do you think the run is this year for salmon? Like, what's it looking like?
Well, all our projections say it's going to be bigger than last year. You know, so we're looking at that right now. That's part of our assessment as to where it is going. You know, and talking to a couple different fishers that were out yesterday, the harvest wasn't as big as we thought it was going to be. So, you know, we need to, you know, account for that and try to get to our harvest objective of, you know, 40,000 fish for the river so that everybody has more, about three times as much fish as last year. So
you're saying that's the allotment for the subsistence is 40,000?
That's our initial planning figure. I don't know if I would call it an allotment.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I'd say that's kind of where we started from is
your goal.
In, you know, precautionary, you know, make sure we can conserve the fish. So I would say that's kind of what we started with. But, you know, if the run size is really big, we have the ability to make that larger number.
Okay.
Pretty easily, yeah.
Okay, got it.
So.
Okay.
How's the fish counting going? Are you guys seeing any fish at the sonars?
You know, I'm not tracking what the sonar is doing. Again, the state is running that sonar station, and it's still in the testing phase right now. So we're trying to get a sense of, is this in the right place? Is it working right? So we're not really getting any good numbers from the sonar sites just yet. Hopefully they can validate that this year. And again, it's a state of Alaska project. And then they'll be able to start giving me some really good numbers next year. So kind of one other bit of good news, new refuge manager Ken Stalnecker will be here today. We look forward to having him here and helping us out with the management of this wonderful place that we all get to live and work in. And I'm really happy that he's coming on board.
Okay, thank you. So, there's a
so are manager. You guys okay. taking some fish home for yourselves when you're doing the test fishing too?
No.
No?
Joe Moses.
I'm just asking.
What are you saying?
But I don't have any fish at all yet. I've been too busy working to do any fishing. So yeah.
I just thought I'd ask. I mean.
Yes. No, they don't.
Okay. Oh, we don't. And, you know, yeah, I have to go catch my own fish. That's just the way that works.
Yeah.
So. Again, oh, we had one other question about federally qualified users. There's kind of some confusion about that.
Okay.
So that's residents of the Kuskokwim River drainage and villages of Shafornik, Kipnuk, Quig, and Kong. So you have to be a resident of the those areas to be a federally qualified user to be able to fish out here.
Okay.
So okay. I appreciate all those questions people have asked. I'm happy to answer anything that comes up.
All right. Thank you. I think we're good right now.
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Willie. Good morning, Willie. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah, good morning. Say I wanted to call. One of my friends finally retired in Bethel. I didn't know if he was ever going to get around to it, but I wanted to say congratulations and thanks for the wonderful service to Mike Shantz at Southwest Fuel.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know he retired. Okay.
Yeah, I just found that out, too. He just officially did the other day, and his trucks are up for sale, and it's a golden opportunity for the city to pick up a truck and start hauling their own fuel because they pack way more than 300,000 gallons of fuel a year. And when I sat on council, it was like 25 cents a gallon delivery. That's 75,000 a year. That pretty much buys a truck.
Wow.
You know? And he's got a first-class truck. It'd be a shame to see it go to a construction company when the city could stand to start making some money themselves, cut their things down. And the reason I say that is my son's living in Bethel now and trying to make a living, and the costs just kill him. He can't never get ahead. And so what's true for him is true for all the rest of the young people out there, too. And so I would strongly suggest that if there's any council members listening or city manager, maybe give Mike a call over there and think about making a purchase that actually helps the city for a change. And other than that, I was just listening to the fishman guy there. And
right.
Being down here in Quinhawk, I can tell you right now, I've watched the numbers over the last 3 years, all the big battle on the river and the consequences of what happens. The other day, the boys were out here fishing. Everybody's out fishing out here in the ocean, right in the mouth of the Kinnicktok River, which is a small river. 44 boats from upriver down here.
Oh, wow.
That's a long travel to get down here. And I didn't realize that to fish the Kuskokwim yet, that the feds actually had villages that were qualified, you know, like Shafornik and that side of the that side of the bay.
Yeah.
Well, how about down here? I mean, this little river can't stand the pressure, and the problem that's happening is these guys are coming down, and I understand everybody wanting fish, don't get me wrong, but this river won't be able to, it can't handle the amount of people that are coming down and killing because they're not happy with 10, 15 fish. They want to fill a boat.
Yeah.
And this river can't handle it. You know, there's 600 people that live here that are fishing it. There's been restrictions on this river for sports fishing. Geez, guys from Bethel can't even come down and legally keep a fish down here. You know, over the last few years, that's been lifted this year, first time in, I think, 4 years. And so something somewhere along the line, there's got to be a better process of figuring out what's going on. And my personal thoughts on all that after watching the battle develop over almost three decades out here, I personally don't think that any net should hit the river till the first day of July. Then they should just open it up and say, all right, escapement's up, whatever is there, now it's open.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the fish should be safe in June, because there's no constitutional guarantee that you need to have 100 kings hanging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got a few kings, that's great. And if you got a whole lot of reds and silvers, that's just great too, because they all eat just lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thought process on the whole thing. I'm going to call Fish and Wildlife here in a minute.
Oh yeah,
because this village is upset right now over the numbers that are showing, and along with it, guys that can't afford one way, they come one way, and don't have gas money to get back the other way. This village is floating in jugs right now, and that's the gas money back. And I mean, there's always booze around, you know, but it's rocking and rolling right now. So there's consequences that happen with all this, and I hope, you know, sane minds prevail. And
that's some pretty serious stuff there, Willie.
Well, you know, I mean, how are you going to... You take a good look. Where's it all headed now that they got the feds running the bottom end of the river? Are they going to enforce the size of community so that Bethel doesn't even qualify for subsistence? Which, by federal law, I believe they can cut them out. You know, you live in Bethel, too bad, so sad. And only the villages can subsist with nets. Where's it all headed? Where's it going? I don't know. I don't stay up with it, but I do know that this is a long ways from being worked out. You know, people are trying, and that's good. But
yeah,
there's other considerations, because there's no sense in wiping this river out just because everything else has been wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that's pretty much. Other than that, congratulations and thanks for the service, Mike Chance.
Hey, Willie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. What do you think about Zach running against Bob?
That's like trying to figure out which way to commit suicide. I'm a Republican, you understand.
Here's what
I do understand. I listen to city council meetings down here because I won't pay for cable. I don't need it. I can live without football. I've learned to get by without it, and actually I get more stuff done. But I can't hardly handle sitting and listening to a city council meeting. How does it take 14 pages to tell you what you can do with marijuana? The people voted it legal. It's legal. So by 14 pages, in my opinion, could have been cut down real fast, real simple, real easy. First, you have to have a state business license. The next line in the ordinance says you have to follow all state rules and laws. And the third line should have been you have to have a city business license, and let it go at that. What do you need 14 pages and all these meetings for?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the sexual discrimination thing. How many pages does that add to the city codes? You know, I mean, there's
okay,
good God Almighty, but here's where it's at.
All right, Willie.
I mean,
tie it up here.
All right. I'm writing my own name in because I can't bring myself to vote for either of those guys.
Okay.
But the one thing that I do know is there's a lot of people that are going to roll over right now. If I had to, couldn't write my own name and had to vote, I'd vote Bob Herron for the simple reason is Bob can work with the Republicans, and the Republicans ain't going to listen to a long-winded lawyer that's as liberal as all get out. Bob will do a better job than Zach ever will.
Well,
that's
it is
my personal opinion.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. I mean, Bob is voting mostly Republican now, so he's, you know, maybe he's more Republican than not. Makes sense.
Well, you better go to bed thanking your lucky stars Bob's learned to work with the Republicans, because if you don't, you're going to get absolutely nothing.
No, I don't think that it's a matter of learning to work with the Republicans. I think he has become Republican in his voting record, and maybe that's okay. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm fine with that.
That if you're Republican, I can see why. I understand why Bob would be a good choice for you.
Well, the reason I'm The reason I'm upset with Bob is because this everybody in the world that lives in Alaska and has half an IQ can see that we got problems with the oil, the dividends in jeopardy because the pipeline's not full, the prices of oil are going down for how many years? Mm-hmm. And when this Delta needs so much stuff, Bob and Lyman both go together to get $25 million that could have gone into something realistic and put it into a swimming pool that's costing the city.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll turn you loose. I know this just drives you nuts when I
It's that we have callers waiting. That's all.
Okay.
No.
All right. You're love you all dearly. Bye.
All right. Bye, Willie. Okay. So next, Helen, thank you for waiting. You're on Talk Line.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a few tips on cycle of abuse, whether it's alcohol or marijuana or meth.
Thank you.
Please find out what triggers you. Do a timeline from the date you were born till your age now, and what drastic measures that are pulling you to drink or to smoke or to do meth or drugs. Alcohol is ethanol. It's poison. It's what you have in lighters, and if you put a lighter in a bottle, it'll blow up. That's what you're drinking, is poison. And what to do is get help from family, friends, PTC, pastors, anybody that'll help you. And don't do it alone. I have a health tip, too, about if you have, dry skin on your face and hands all the time and arms, boil hot water, put a little salt in it, and use it whenever you're going to wash your hands or your face. You'll feel softness on your face. And that's all I had today. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Helen. Those are very, very good words to hear. Okay, I think we had an email that will be read. Email?
This is from Anonymous on Sunday Fishing Game. Wrote us a citation for too long of a net. We caught 3 kings. Fishing Game took our biggest king. We could have at least 5 or more meals from the fish. I've heard before that the opener that we could keep all the fish we catch, and look what they did. Took our biggest king.
Oh, so if I heard that correctly, they had their net confiscated because it was too long. And at the same time, the fish from the net, or maybe only one of the fish from the net, the largest fish, was taken. Don't they take all of the fish? I don't know.
Interesting, but you know,
all right.
I'd like to know how do they measure the net? That would be my question.
Well, emailer didn't say our net was actually shorter and they misgauged it. I mean, I probably it's you could tell the longer nets.
If you look at some of the way people fish here in mm-hmm. terms of how long their net is, they add a extra line for the buoy.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that if you're measuring
with an
instrument,
yeah,
like a scope or a measuring tool from your boat, and you're the regulator, if you measure from buoy to buoy, it's going to be more than 150 feet. But until you actually go see the net and measure it, I mean, mm-hmm. it's interesting how they...
Well, this sea mailer wasn't complaining that they took our net, even though it was less, it was, you know, not over 100 feet. But anyway, there you go. All right, you want to give the numbers out? Oh, Tom from Chelista.
Yeah.
I didn't see that note. Good morning, Tom. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning, Diane and Joe. How are you two doing?
Good.
Did you have a show yesterday? Was it yesterday?
Yes, we did. Oh, yeah. We did. It was a very slow show. I think everyone's getting ready to fish, which is probably the best thing to do.
Yeah.
So that's okay. I heard you guys talking about voting earlier, so I just want to call and remind Chelista shareholders that voting for Chelista is going on right now.
Oh, okay.
So, definitely please, Chelista shareholders, vote. On average, only 50.07% of us actually vote, which is very close to not meeting quorum. And if we don't meet quorum, our votes don't count. The directors we voted for, those don't count. The resolutions we voted on, those don't count. The meeting will have to be rescheduled, and that could easily be over $100,000. So please, please vote. Use the blue paper proxy form that was mailed out to every single shareholder, or inside that blue proxy form is information so you can vote online. Very easy to do no matter where you are. Within like 3 or 4 minutes, you can vote on your phone. So please, please vote.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. That seems that's very important.
Anything else going on at Chelista? Hello?
Oh,
we must have lost them.
All right, so we have an email that will also be read to us. Go ahead.
To the fishermen fishing, be respectful to other people fishing. It seems worse than commercial fishing out there. Net to net, don't get corking everybody because you see an open space. Watch where you fish from another anonymous fisherman.
Okay, good. Thank you for bringing that to us.
Yeah, it would be nice if they would just, you know, like the email said, be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get greedy.
Mm-hmm. Don't be loud.
Don't
on
be
the
loud.
River.
You know, I mean, you know, it's a lot of this stuff. I heard this fishing period was worse than the first one because there was more corking going on.
Oh.
So
the first one in the first
compared to the first one, but there was still some going on then too.
Huh.
And you know, I mean, it's one thing to be trying to get what you need for yourself, but it's also another thing to be disrespectful and greedy.
Yeah. Okay, Roy. Good morning. You're on Talk Line.
Yeah. Good morning. Long time no hear, guys.
I know. What's up?
And it's so nice to be able to hear and listen to people from different views, different thinking,
mm-hmm.
and it puts spice into the whole talk show, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's very interesting to have people that are different and different input. Different perspectives. It's fascinating. But I really wanted to get into was, from the media that you listen to or read, and it depends on person's tastes. I wanted to hear was your perspective about how the voting process is going on so far that in your thinking, the votes, the ballots that are not counted and issues that nationally, so far.
Oh, you mean for the presidential campaign?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you're well aware of some of the ballots that are not being counted. And then in California, they had over 2 million ballots that they're still counting. They won't have the final vote from California for another week or two. And as they're counting, different districts in California are switching to Sanders. At first, it seemed that they were for Clinton, but then as they counted all of the provisional and the mail-in ballots, now we're getting different numbers. So we'll see what
Bernie
happens.
So Bernie can still win California?
I don't know if he's going to get that far, but he's...
Well, you said there's still... How many votes to count?
Oh, there's a couple million.
That's a lot.
That is a lot of votes, yeah. So, Roy, what did you... Is that kind of what you're thinking of?
You got it nailed right. Very good. And I think it's a big lesson to the listening audience and, well, the people mostly. The more they get informed about what's really happening, the more they know how to go about dealing with issues that are impacting them. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so important. I still continually think, I really wish that, like, internet is kind of like a people's right to have access to information, because it really does impact each one of us. If we make some wrong choices, we vote against ourselves. Uh-huh. And if we make some right choices, seem like in this day and age, in the year that we are, in this era, it should be required, because things seem like the more the direction of the globe is going, it's kind of like global warming and mm-hmm. and current issues need to be. The technology is there, but the system is not set to make everybody accessible. That's what I'm trying.
Not yet. And I also question the caucus process as a way. I think we. I don't think caucuses are very democratic in terms of selecting, because in our region, House District 38, it would have meant people would have had to fly in from villages to Bethel.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then, on top of that, then when once you go to the caucus in Bethel, you've got to fly into the convention, state convention in Anchorage, and vote again as a delegate before, and then send more delegates to Philly.
Okay, I see your point. But, the person that called earlier is from Delista, and then he was recommending people to vote. And I really like this new system that they implemented into the voting process for the Delista Corporation shareholder.
Oh, what are they? How do they do it?
It's really simplified. If you can send in your paper, mail it in, but they give you the option to get into DelistaVote.com, and it's self-explanatory, like the gentleman that called earlier. Make it in the blue form, and it's got your ID number, it's got your name, and then it gives you the code that it's already pre-written. Talking about voting nationally, I was nationally voting as a citizen of the United States. We should all have that right, a choice to make our voice heard. And that process, to me, seemed like it should be really simplified if it could be implemented nationally in a similar direction. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think that's... I like that. I like the sound of that, and I think it's great that they have continued to make a process or develop a process that allows the most people to participate easily and
that
simply.
That would be super ideal. To me, super delegates do away with it. Period.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I think about it.
That was a mistake.
Because it's not really democratic. It's really already elected officials or the establishment elites that are giving their perspective from already elected people that were trying to get our voice heard when we are being overpowered enough.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the superdelegates, Sanders and Clinton would be going to Philadelphia. Neither one would have enough to clinch the nomination. So that would then be determined at the convention by the delegates that had gone. Because Clinton doesn't have enough, but she has the superdelegates. So they can vote how they want and overrule some of our votes.
The other point that I've been wanting to make, these major news outlets or industries, they're bought. They got agenda like a politicians that are considered establishment, and that's how I think about them. And that's what gets into the people's minds. So I continue to look for opposing news sites that they could be legitimate, could be propaganda, but at least you get the perspective of people that are creating it. But anyway, have a good day and thank you.
Thank you very much, Roy, for those thoughtful comments.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay. So we have Buck. Good morning, Buck. Welcome to Talk Line.
Morning. Before I talk about voting, I would like to give a shout out to the highway crew that on every bright sunny day they're out there spray painting the diagonal lines between the walkway and the bike trail and the highway, which I think has been needed for several years, and I was always worried about somebody taking a corner wide or too short and hitting the kid on the bike trail. I see they're doing it now every chance they get on a sunny day, and then on the days that ain't sunny, they're out patching the potholes. So our state crew is trying hard, and I just want to let them know that they're appreciated.
Good. Thank you.
And, okay, now on voting, if you're uninformed, I think you shouldn't go vote. If you're uninformed, if you're passionate about keeping your guns like Alan was, and you think everybody should own a machine gun, it doesn't matter what or how or why or what for, but if you want a machine gun, no matter who you are, you ought to be able to go get one, then you got to go vote. If you think nobody should have a gun whatsoever, then you got to go vote. If you're in the middle and you're sensible about gun control and you're sensible about, okay, people got a right to go hunt, people got a right to go shoot, and people got a right to own guns, you should go vote too, but you need to get informed about it. I don't care what Trump says. I don't care what Clinton says or Ted Cruz or all these guys. The president of the United States cannot abolish the Second Amendment. The president of the United States cannot take your guns away. That's the Congress. That's the Senate. That's the Supreme Court. If the president says, okay, no more guns, Supreme Court can say it's unconstitutional. If the president says, okay, no more guns, the Senate can override his vetoes or override his executive orders by a two-thirds vote or all that kind of stuff. The president of the United States, I don't care how many times they say it on TV, cannot take away your guns, cannot take away your Second Amendment right to be on the no-fly list and to be a homophobic or a racist or a Nazi or anything. And the president of the United States cannot do it. It's up to Congress. It's up to the Senate. It's up to the Supreme Court. And I'm personally thinking there should be sensible gun control. I have five sons in the village, and there's probably 50 to 100 guns between them. None of them is allowed to own a firearm because they've all been convicted of a domestic violence. You know, all it takes is pleading no contest to arguing with your girlfriend, and you can never own a firearm again. And you the boat would sink if all the boys put all their guns in the same boat. They just got too many out there, and they've all got guns, and they're all of them are breaking the law. They're being kind of sensible. One of them shot himself one time. There's many, many reasons to have guns and not have guns. The way to control guns and the way to get legislation passed is to go vote. But you got to be sensible about voting. Don't go vote for Trump because he says Clinton's going to take away your guns. It's just not true, and it can't happen. Congress can. You can vote out Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan and put in somebody else that doesn't want guns or won't go to the Republican tune. Mm-hmm. You can vote for them, and they'll vote the Republican way, and everybody can have a machine gun. I mean, but you got to be informed when you go vote.
True. All right. Buck, we're going to have to wrap it up because we only have a few minutes and another caller. So thank you very much for calling in.
Yep.
All right. We have Frank. Good morning, Frank. You're on Talk Line.
Thank you. Good morning for taking my call.
We only have a few minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a couple of cents worth. Being from Southwest Alaska and situated between oil-rich North Slope, Salmon Rich, Bristol Bay. You know, many times I've lived, you know, 60 plus years now, and over the years I've heard many of our dear people here in this part of the great state of Alaska being stigmatized because of their economic status. That these are the poorest people, you know, that we are the poorest people. And so I don't think that's a legitimate enough reason for the powers that be to take away what we live with, or salmon or whatnot. And that's something that's been unjustly I feel like it's an injustification to our people, because this is what we live with, this is what we were taught, and this is how we're going to live as much as we possibly can for the, you know, rest of our existence here. That's my two cents that I want to share.
Thank you, Frank.
And good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. I think we have an email, and that will be that'll be the last thing that we do. So go ahead and read the email, and we'll say...
I would like to remain anonymous. My prayers and thoughts are for those that lost their lives and their immediate families during the shootings in Florida. The media has been saying that this incident's the worst massacre in America history. Obviously, they have never heard of the one in Wounded Knee.
Okay. So the one in Wounded Knee was done by the military, and what they're referring to is this is... A lone gunman, not affiliated with the military, shooting this many people. And so I think that's what's the reference to being the largest massacre.
So how many
But people, I mean, it wasn't. I mean, in people? History, no, it wouldn't have been, because there's Wounded Knee, and there's also Black Wall Street in Tulsa, where over 300 African Americans were killed by angry mobs and KKK. And then there's Rosewood and Florida. So there's been mass amounts of people killed. What's unique or different about this is it's a single gunman, not affiliated with anything in particular. And that's what some of our mass shootings have been about in the last 10, 12 years, which make them, you know, something else to try to understand of all the things we got. So thank you for that email and making that connection.
Yes.
For us. All right.
Again, I'd like to thank everybody that called. We appreciate everybody that did call. We thank you for your emails. This has been Friday Morning Talk Line.
And this is Diane McGachran, and you can hear the replay tonight from 7 to 8:30, and you can also catch the link at the KYUK Talk Line Facebook page. Okay.
Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out, have a plan. And yes, wear your PFD.
And have a mindful day.
It's worth to save your life.
Thank you.
say...
This is your KYK weather forecast. It is June 17, 2016. For Bethlehem, the Kuskokwim Delta, like today rain likely in the morning, then a chance of rain in the afternoon. Patchy fog along the coast, highs in the lower to mid.
Something that we wanted to make sure we did have kind of that bright line there, where if you're in your vehicle and you're consuming, you're in violation of the code. If you're not, then you're not in violation of our code. You may have issues on another level at that point, though.
Moving on to some of the other things that were changed, that were amended. Mayor Rick Robb had concerns that the initial ordinance contained language that allowed for internet advertising to be banned, and the mayor was concerned that this was a First Amendment violation. It's unclear whether or not it
is. We are sorry for the inconvenience. We're going to replay the Delta Affairs Weekly here shortly
surrounding that amendment.
Well, I think, you know, initially when we drafted that portion.
Hello, I'm Adrian Wagner, and you're listening to Delta Affairs Weekly. Commercial marijuana regulation has been a long time in the works for Bethel. Zach Fansler, Bethel City Council member, sat on the board that drafted the regulation passed by the City Council on Tuesday. This week, we take a closer look at what marijuana regulation could mean for those in Bethel interested in starting a business or buying from one.